Okay, let's continue what we're up to in the Mishnah Brura, and then hopefully we'll be able to get some more Gemara in today. We're learning Mishnah Brura up to Siman Tav Ayin Gimel Se'if Hey. Tav Ayin Gimel Se'if Hey. Now, it says in the Mechaber that Elu Yerakol Sheyotze Bahen Yedei Chovaso, Yoyotze, your obligation with the following vegetables, and it gives us a list. Chazeres Olshin Tamcha, Chachavina, and Murar. Right? That you're Yotze with these five vegetables. And the Mechaber is just quoting the list that's found in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tesam at Aleph, that you're Yotze with these five vegetables. And it says that you're Yotze with the leaves and with the stalks, but you're not Yotze with the roots. The leaves are leaves. The stalks are what supports the leaves. For example, if you look at lettuce, so you have like the lighter green stuff and the darker green of the leaves, the lighter green stalk you're yotze with, but you're not yotze with the leaves. Excuse me, you're not yotze with the roots, and even with the leaves, you're only yotze if they are moist, etc. And you're not yotze if it's kavush or shalak, you're not yotze if it's soaked, or if it is cooked, and you're not cooked, shaluk means it's cooked a lot, mevusha means cooked a little bit, the kula mitzar from the kezayis shu hashir shalahem. And all of the mine murar combined for a kezayis, etc., but the ikar hamitzvah b'chazares. The main mitzvah is with chazares. If you don't have chazares, then you go in the order of the Mishnah, and then the Rama writes, if you don't have these, you could take la'ana or anything else. So let's try to understand this se'if, the halacha of murar. So there are five species for murar, five minim. The five minim, again, are chazeres, tamcha, chachavina, olshin, and murar. And chazeres, the one that's first on the list, is ideal. That's the preferred murar. What exactly is chazeres? What do you guys know? So, in modern Hebrew, chazeres is horseradish. That's what chazeres is in modern Hebrew. In rabbinic Hebrew, however, chazeres is some sort of lettuce, chasa. And the poskim discuss which one is preferred, the lettuce, the horseradish, etc. But when we talk about horseradish as a potential form of maror, we have to recognize that this is very complicated halachically. Let me explain on a few different levels. What is horseradish? So Google it right now. What is horseradish? It's a type of root. So what's the problem? We just read in Shulchan Aruch that you're not yotze with roots, no? Shulchan Aruch says, you're not yotze in the mitzvah of maror if you have a root. So the first problem is, how can you use horseradish if horseradish is only a root? So that's like a technical halachic problem. There's another technical halachic problem, which is that it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not yotze with maror if it's kavush, shaluk, or mevushal. What's kavush? So kavush means that you soak it. If you soak it in water for 24 hours, it has a din of kavush. If you soak it in vinegar for Kadesh Yala al Ha'esh V'Yartiach, for the amount of time it takes to put it on the fire and burn and boil, which is approximately 18 minutes, the poskim say, then it has the halacha of kavush, and then you're not yotze. So now we got a problem. Horseradish is so sharp, it's so strong, that anytime you go to a store, you see, in ancient history, there used to be these things called stores that we used to be able to walk into and just go shopping. Everything was grand. If you walk into a store, you're unable to find horseradish that counts as horseradish. You can't find horseradish on its own unless the horseradish has been soaking for a while. If it has not been soaking, so then they won't sell it as horseradish. That's the basic idea. And that's a very reasonable thing, because if it hasn't been soaking, you if it hasn't been soaking, so you won't be able to eat it. So we have two problems so far with the use of horseradish. One, horseradish was not horseradish the is roots, and you're not guilty with roots. Problem number two is that horseradish is horseradish has to be soaked, and you're not guilty if it's soaked. Problem number three is probably the most fundamental problem. Problem number three, Yehuda Felix, who wrote the book called Hachai V'Hatzomeach B'Mishnah, Yehuda Felix points out, Yehuda Felix was actually the founding Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivat Or Hachayim in Toronto. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he's a botanist, and Yehuda Felix points out that horseradish did not grow in Eretz Yisrael B'Tkufas HaMishnah. It did not exist. Horseradish is a plant that just wasn't available. It wasn't there. Now, of course, this itself is somewhat debatable. You know, as a matter of halacha, it's easier to prove, and as a matter of metzias, it's much easier to prove that something was there than to prove that something wasn't there. But Felix, who's quite an expert, Felix says, you know what? Horseradish was not in Eretz Yisrael at the period of the Mishnah. So now, here's the issue. If horseradish wasn't around in the period of the Mishnah, so that would mean that horseradish can't be the thing that's mentioned in the Mishnah. And that would mean that Jews only began eating horseradish when they didn't have access to lettuce anymore. Lettuce is a crop that only grows in more southern areas where it's warmer. In northern areas, where it is colder, horseradish won't grow. Yeah, I just totally said it backwards. Lettuce only grows in southern areas. In northern areas, lettuce won't grow. Horseradish will grow in northern areas. Jews, when they moved northward, they didn't have an opportunity to have lettuce because they couldn't get any lettuce, and lettuce couldn't be transported for them. So what Jews did is they started eating horseradish. But as a matter of halacha, it's highly, highly, highly problematic to use horseradish as lettuce. To use horseradish as mara. Mamish, saying everything backwards. It's very difficult to use horseradish as mara for these three reasons. You have to use the roots, which is a problem. The other problem is that horseradish has to be soaked. The other problem is that horseradish wasn't around in Eretz Yisrael, the period of the Mishnah. Now, the Ramah tells us that you will not be able to get the type of horseradish that is usable unless it has been soaked. Go to the store and try to buy horseradish. You will always see the horseradish soaking in a bucket of water. The horseradish, even if you buy a horseradish, you buy a whole root. Again, as a kid, I remember whenever we went to buy a whole horseradish root, it was soaking in water, and that creates a problem of kavosh. Now, you could say, okay, maybe in your community, maybe in Sharon, Massachusetts, so the horseradish isn't soaking, but I still have the other two problems. You look like you are bothered by something. Can you hear me now? Okay, but you... Right. Okay, so horseradish might taste better. And maybe the idea of horseradish is based on the Ramah. And the Ramah tells us that you could be yotze with la'ana or any bitter thing. Now, what is la'ana? So la'ana is worm wood. Shoresh pore rosh v'la'ana. La'ana is worm wood. Now, there's a few problems. The Bir Halacha over here comments. There's a few problems with using la'ana as morer. First of all, Murr, the mission tells us, has to be Elo Yerukos, has to be a vegetable. La'ana is worm wood, and it comes from trees. It doesn't come from vegetables. So it could be that you're not Yotze with wormwood at all. Moreover, La'ana is so strong that you can't possibly eat a shear of it in time. So the Mishnah Berurah tells, you know what? Maybe when the Rama says La'ana, he doesn't really mean La'ana. Now, the people who use horseradish as a maror, they're saying, we're relying on the Rama who says that you can use anything that is bitter. Well, there's another problem. There's a fellow, Ari Schaefer, who wrote an article in the journal Gesher, Volume 8. Wayu, before it had the Torah Mada journal, had a journal called Gesher. And in the Gesher journal, Volume 8, Ari Schaefer shows that horseradish is sharp, it's not bitter. There are five different tastes. Does anyone know this Torah? That, like, our tongue can discern five different types of flavors? Look it up. That's correct. You're very good. How did you figure that out just like on your own? So, but here's the thing. Sharp and bitter are two different tastes. Horseradish is not bitter. Horseradish is sharp. When the Rama says that you're Yotze with anything that's bitter, that means bitter. Now, I don't know if this is compelling, because I don't know if in Rabbinic Hebrew there was a distinction between sharp and bitter, although we have such a distinction. But nonetheless, if the distinction between sharp and bitter exists, you can make a very, very strong case that you are not Yotze with horseradish, because horseradish is sharp rather than bitter. Let's go on. Who is the first of the poskim, of the Rishonim, who speaks about using horseradish as murr? Well, the first one who talks about horseradish is the Ra'avon. The Ra'avon is born around the year 1090, fairly early among Rishonim. The Ra'avon talks about horseradish. Horseradish, by the way, is called in German Meer Reitach, no? That, what? Ben, are you with us? So, horseradish is called Meer Reitach in German. Now, here's the thing. Okay. Yeah, I went out for a minute. I have a bunch of kids on Zoom now, and my phone broke. Or I shouldn't say broke, I should say that because I'm a huge idiot, my phones fell in the toilet, and consequently the water has made my phone currently not usable, so I don't even have my mobile hotspot to get it to work. I probably should not have put that on tape, because now it's going to be on YU Torah, and everyone who listens to my shiurim will know this, but the good thing is not that many people listen. But Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, can you still hear me? So Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, we have a few problems with the horseradish. Right, the fact that it's sharp and not bitter might not work according to the Rama. The fact that it's so pungent, so strong, that it's difficult to eat a shear, that's a point that's made by the Chacham Tzvi in his tshuva, that maybe you should not use horseradish. The fact that horseradish probably did not exist in the period of the Mishnah. Okay, so you're trying to flex your mouth muscles at me, or your taste muscles, or whatever. Do you eat the ground horseradish, or do you eat chunks of horseradish? Ground or chunks? Correct.
So you shave off of it. It's like tiny strips. That's the way you do it. Many poskim say you're not yotzei at all if you use chunks, because it's going to be so powerful that you won't be able to eat it with kezayis. Now, it could be that if you have a really small share for kezayis, it's great. And many of the poskim will say you can't eat a kezayis, it's because they had too large of a kezayis. But me'ezah sibashahi, I'll say it like this. Traditional Jews, my zayda, my elder zayda, my elder zayda, they used horseradish for maror. But we've got a bunch of problems with the use of horseradish for maror. Let's go through the history, though, even further. The earliest one who mentions using horseradish for maror is the Sefer Ra'avon. The Ra'avon, born around the year 1090. Relatively early Rishon. But the Ra'avon speaks about mer retach. Right? That's the German word for horseradish. That's what we're up to. By the way, how did mer retach come to mean horseradish? So retach means horseradish. Mer, in German, means more. So it means more radishy than radish. However, someone who was familiar with the English language understood mer as if it is M-A-R-E. Hence the term horse radish. Right? Mer is a term for horse. Again, there's a whole wild and crazy history about the use of horseradish as a bitter herb on Pesach. And the Ra'avon is the first one who mentions horseradish in Hilchos Pesach. But here's the thing. When the Ra'avon mentions horseradish, he writes, horseradish, mer retach, is a very good thing to include in your charoses. He says, horseradish is part of the charoses recipe. But that would mean that horseradish is not something that is morrorable. Later on, around the year 1260, the Hagos Maimoni talks about using horseradish as morror. He is the earliest source. The earliest source. It's a very, very difficult thing. The Pashtus is that lettuce is morror. But many poskim, even after they had lettuce, said, you know what, even though we have questions about horseradish is still preferred to lettuce because of the Heiliger issue called Tola'im, bugs. The Mishnah Berurah over here quotes from the Chsam Sefer. Where is this Mishnah Berurah? The Mishnah Berurah writes in Se'if Katan somewhere, I'm just looking again. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that he thinks, he quotes in the Chsam Sefer, that I can't find the Se'if Katan, that since there are so many bugs in the ear, Se'if Katan Membeis, Tapayin Gelmo Se'if Katan Membeis, he says, many poskim say, he quotes from the Chsam Sefer, some in Kuflam and Beis, that since there are so many bugs that are hard to notice unless your eyes are very good, so therefore you should not use lettuce as maror, unless you have a real Yarei Shamayim. Now, of course, this depends on the larger issue about checking for bugs in general, and whether the tiny little bugs are going to present an issue lahalacha. It's well known that Rav Eitam Henkin, Hashem Yikom Damo, has a sefer called Lechem Yeh La'achla, where he is mekal on many of the vegetables and bug checking, because he says the bugs require such careful discernment that it is not called Nikar Ha'isser. If it's not called Nikar Ha'isser, so then we could argue that it is going to be Batal and Taruvis, like it says in Yerideh, as Simen Pei Daled, and Simen Kuf. I have many shiurim on this topic. That is another discussion. So one of the reasons why some poskim are machmir not to use lettuce and instead backdoor into horseradish is because of the bug checking. Another potential reason why some poskim say that you should not use lettuce, Rav Henkin has this, and it's published in the Ezra's Torah Luach. Rav Henkin writes that Okay, chasa is lettuce. Chazeres is chasa. That's what the poskim say. Rashi writes an expression. Maram Chalava writes an expression. That's litoigu. Litoigu is probably some sort of lettuce. Grand. Well, here's the thing. Which type of lettuce? There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of species of lettuce, no? Which type of lettuce is the chazeres or the chasa or whatever it's called? Not at all clear. Some poskim say romaine lettuce. Who says romaine lettuce? Romaine lettuce is actually harder to check. Romaine lettuce today is very common. I think we eat romaine lettuce every single Shabbos. Every Shabbos. That's normal salad, is the romaine lettuce. Iceberg lettuce. Rev Aaron Cutler used to recommend using iceberg lettuce because he says it's easier to check. The romaine lettuce has many crevices on it, so it's harder to check for bugs. Iceberg lettuce is easier to check for bugs. Rev Aaron Cutler felt that all species of lettuce are good. But Rev Henkin says, I'm not sure which ones are good. Rav Yehuda Felix, in the Chai Vatzomeach by Mishnah, he argues that lettuce is a type of wild, that the chaso, or the chazeres in the Mishnah, is a type of wild lettuce that grows in Eretz Yisrael, that has been growing in Eretz Yisrael for thousands of years. It's an indigenous plant to the land of Israel, which happens to be really bitter. Wild lettuce is really bitter. That's what he argues. But again, that stuff is very hard to get. The use of horseradish as murr is really complicated. The use of lettuce as murr is somewhat complicated because I don't know which one to use. So some poskim say, some rabbanim say, you know what? Since it says in Shulchan Aruch over here, since the Gemara says that you can be mitzaref all of the different forms of murr, so therefore, make yourself a murr sandwich. Put horseradish inside a lettuce leaf and eat that. Did you ever see anyone who did that, Ben? Yes, right? People might put some horseradish in lettuce. Well, here's the problem. The Gemara in Pesachim tells me that because murr bizman has as doiraisa, murr, the Gemara says, is hechshere de pischa. Murr really, min ha-toira, is amatzai su murorim yochluhu. The mitzvah to eat murr is together with the Korban Pesach. Right, we spoke about this, how Korban Pesach is basically a shawarma, no? You have a soft matzah, you have some meat, and you have lettuce. Gevaldik, right? What could be better? You should know the only restaurant that was open in the Heights yesterday was Golan. Okay, adkan. But this is just like a kayin, the halacha of shawarma. But lettuce is hechshere de pischa. The only time there's a mitzvah or murr is hechshere de pischa. The only time there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat murr is as part of the Korban Pesach. If murr for us is d'rabbanon, which it really is, so then what emerges is by dinam d'rabbanon, they have to be worried that the rishus will be mevatel the mitzvah. One of those species might not be murr. Either the lettuce might not be murr, or the horseradish might not be murr. So if I eat it together, one of them will be mevatel the other. And I should be worried that the non-murr will be mevatel the murr, and then I don't get the mitzvah. So if you want to do the mitzvah properly, Hanir Lafi and the Estaiti, and I saw many poskim say this years ago, I heard a shir, the only shir I ever heard in my life, for Reb Nissen Kaplan. Reb Nissen Kaplan argued that if you want to be yotze with both, with both horseradish and lettuce, make sure you eat them together. Make sure, I'm like mamish, like drunk today. If you want to be yotze, I have too much Corona beer in my refrigerator. If I want to be yotze with both horseradish and lettuce, make sure you eat them separately, not together. If you eat them together, one would be mevatel the other. So this is already a real issue. So what do I use for murr? Lettuce is a problem because of bugs and because I'm not sure which species of lettuce, as Rav Henkin says. The next thing on the list is called olshin. Olshin is usually translated as endives. Hindavi. But we have no idea that olshin is really endives. Tamcha. Tamcha is by some translated as
horseradish, but as we noted, horseradish wasn't Eretz Yisrael in the period of the Mishnah. Tamcha, charchavina, maror, we have no idea what these things are. We have no idea what these things are. So it's not at all pashut what we do for a maror. The pashtus, I would say, is that lettuce is the best, but because my elder Zeta ate horseradish, so I should eat horseradish also. If you eat horseradish, the Mishnah Berurah says that you should grind it, because the chunks of horseradish are too hard to eat. My father, again, I don't know if he still does, I haven't been with him for a Seder for many years, but my father used to take a big chunk of horseradish and bite into it, and my sister and I used to sit there, watch his face get redder and redder and redder until it's mamish beet red. I don't know if he still does this or not. That's a tough one. Ground horseradish is easier. You eat it with a spoon. I don't recommend grinding the horseradish and eating it with your hand. I think that's a little too too hamish, as we'd say. Even though minhag avoseinu biyodeinu, even though biyodeinu, you should do the minhag with your hand. Nonetheless, I don't know if that's proper. Now, the Vilna Gaon was worried that maybe it would be mafig taimo. You know, the Gemara says that be'inon tam marer for yatzah, be'inon tam marer, that even though bola matzah yatzah, even if I swallow matzah, I'm yotzei the mitzvah, but bola marer lo yatzah. If I swallow the marer, I'm not yotzei, because you need tam marer. The Vilna Gaon was worried, it says in the Sefer Maaseh Rav, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that if he would grind his marer too early, it would be mafig tam. Therefore, he would not grind his maror until he came home from shul, from the Seder. Right? It's amazing. They were came up from shul from davening Ma'ariv, then he would grind maror and then do the Seder after. Some of the Rishonim would come home from shul, then bake their matzah, and then make a Seder. If you're going to both bake your matzah and grind your maror, you come home from shul, you're not going to have much time for like hearing all of the gematrias during Maggid. That's all I'll say about that. But the Vilna Gaon would not grind his maror until he came back from shul because he's worried it would be mafig tam. This is questionable whether it's true, or whether it's true to the extent that the Gruz worried about it. But Moshe Sternbuch says punkt fakert. Moshe Sternbuch writes that adarava, you should grind the maror before yontiv and leave it out a teeny bit, so that it's not so sharp, because he tines that even the ground maror is too sharp, too strong, to be yotzei with it appropriately. That's Reb Moshe Sternbuch's argument. Exactly the opposite of the Gra. There's another issue. If you grind maror, to grind maror on yontiv is not at all pashat, no? One of the malachos is tochein. Right, we learned Telchein in our Shirman Hilchah Shabbos. It's Telchein La'alter. Ooh. So Telchein La'alter, there's a tshuva of the Rashba that's quoted that Telchein La'alter is mutter. However, all the poskim say, don't rely on that Rashba straight up, because who says the Rashba is correct? Rather, only rely on the Rashba, the hitz taref, the fact that you grind it into larger pieces. If you use a rebizen is a Yiddish word for grinder. You use a rebizen to grind your maror, you're grinding it into tiny pieces. So that would be a real problem, even if it's done la'alter. Also, is it pasha that that's called la'alter? I'm going to grind my maror right before the su'udah, but I'm not going to get to maror until a long time later, until after Maggid. It's not so pasha that that's considered la'alter. So by Borer, there's a Magen Avraham right that you're not Yotze until you're Yotze, it's not called La'alter until it's Yotze Mibes HaKnesses, which means Shabbos, after you come home from Shul, then you could be Borer for the meal. That's what the Magen Avraham says. In our Shirman Hilchah Shabbos, we had some discussion about that Magen Avraham. Well, the Magen Avraham does say that by Tochein, not by Borer. That's true. I think that was part of our discussion, and maybe Borer, where there's more of a heter la'alter, so you have a shorter time. But according to the Magen Avraham, Yitzim Beis HaKnesses doesn't mean Yitzim Beis HaKnesses when I'm going to make the Seder. It means Yitzim Beis HaKnesses, then I'm going to have a meal right after. So the heter of Teichen la'alter, not at all pashut.
Now, what are you going to tell me? It's Yontev. What's so bad? Oichol Nefesh is mutter be Yontev. Yeah. But here's the thing. The Mishnayis and Beitzah say that Tochein, Mishnah Daf Yudalin, Tochein is one of those unusual malachos that's not Heter Gomer and Yontev. It's only mutter to do Tochein on Yontev if you do some sort of Shinoi. So I can't grind it normally on my Rebaisen. I can't grind it normally on my grater. I have to grate in some unusual way if I want to do it on Yontev. So again, grinding your mara before Yontev is better. Again, Gershon is going to say, this is... The din of Ochon Nefesh on Yontev is that any malacha... Can you hear me still? Any malacha milisha ve'elech, any malacha after kneading, is heter gomer on Yontev. Malachas before Lisha are complicated. Even if they're done for food, you need some sort of shinui. The Rishonim discuss, with respect to Teichein, that if it's going to be done earlier and it won't affect the final product, so then you have to do it earlier. The heter to do it on Yontev is only, it applies to pilpulin, not to do it to melach, because pilpulin is better fresh, and melach is the same done earlier. This, of course, leads the Chazon Ish to say, maybe to grind murr, you don't need any shinoi on Yontev. You only need a shinoi if you're taking pilpulin on Yontev. Maybe, since the Goyin says that I need very strong, sharp murr, so it could be that I have to grind it once Yontev begins, and therefore maybe I do not need any shinoi. It's not Pashut, but the Gra says that he would grind the Marar when he came back from Shul. Not at all simple. Some person can say, oh, grind your Marar before Yontev, and keep it like in a sealed container so it won't lose its sharpness. For some reason, maybe you guys understand this why, for some reason Marar loses its sharpness when it's exposed to the air. If it's not exposed to the air, it doesn't lose its sharpness. But whatever it is, Marar, to grind it on Yontev itself, I think is not at all pashut. We have our many issues with the use of horseradish. We pointed out that it's best to use both horseradish and lettuce. But if you're going to use horseradish and lettuce, don't eat them together. That's what seems to me. Now, Gershon is probably thinking that, listen, why am I nervous about grinding the horseradish? Just eat a chunk of horseradish, like minhag avoseinu. So apparently the Gra did not think like you, no? The Gra felt that eating a chunk of horseradish is going to be a avoda kasha sheba mikdash. It's going to be very difficult, and maybe you're not going to fulfill the horseradish grinding, not going to fulfill the murar if it is chunks of horseradish. Now, what is charoses, right? Maror, we dip in charoses. It says in the Gemara, you're supposed to dip it in the charoses and then be menair, then shake it off. Some people shake it off because they just don't like the taste of charoses. Okay, I happen to love charoses. I think charoses is like the best food ever. You know, I would buy charoses for dinner any day of the week. What goes in charoses? So what goes in charoses are the fruits that Klal Yisrael is compared to in Shir HaShirim. Tachas ha-tapuach or reruticha. You should put tapuach in. Okay, now here's the thing. Tapuach, Taisus points out in Tainus and elsewhere, for us tapuach means apple. But tapuach in Biblical Hebrew meant some sort of citrus fruit. The Pasuk says that, or Chazal write, that it smells, when Yaakov Avinu came into Yitzchak Avinu, he smelled Reach Sadeh Shel Tapuchim. Now, if Tapuach is an apple, if you've ever been in an apple orchard, it doesn't smell fragrant at all. If you've been to an area with a lot of citrus fruits, to an orange grove, so there's mamish a smell. Tapuach, Tosis points out, means citrus fruit. It does not mean apple. Now, the term apple, by the way, itself, in Old English, apple was a generic word for fruit. No? Pine apple. In German and in Yiddish, how do you say, and in French, how do you say potato? Yeah. In Latin, it's like, that's correct. It's the generic word for fruit in Latin and all Romance languages. So in French, it's pomme de terre is a potato. Pomme means fruit, literally, de terre, of the ground. In Hebrew, tapuach adama. Tapuach means fruit, generically. Pine apple, it means fruit generically. So if you're supposed to put tapuach into your charoses, it probably does not mean put an apple in. Because apple is not what a tapuach means. Now, of course, if this is right, that means a citrus fruit. Yes, please.
I did a search of manuscripts for the word tapuach just to see its earliest occurrences.
Yes.
And there's a reference in Mishnah Trumos to yin tapuchim.
Okay. That means some vinegar that may...
From oranges?
From some citrus fruit? From citrus fruit. They would make some vinegar from a citrus fruit.
In our society, we do actually make vinegar from apples, and we do not make vinegar from citrus fruit.
But you can.
I don't know how possible it is.
Yeah, I think anything that can ferment can become vinegar.
Okay.
I mean, or... I mean, you could have pomegranate vinegar.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, the word tapuach, I'm actually really happy that this is the type of thing that you've researched. But the word tapuach,
yeah,
probably, in biblical Hebrew, probably did not mean what we call an apple. And if it's modeled after the psukim in Shir HaShirim, so then I should use the tapuach of Shir HaShirim. Kinamon, cinnamon, right, is something that goes into the charoses because it's supposed to look like tevin, like straw. That means that if you put cinnamon in, you should cut it into very thin strips to have like what we call cinnamon, ground cinnamon. Don't do nothing. No, it's supposed to be dome le tevin. You're supposed to put wine or vinegar in the charoses because it's supposed to look like yayin, which is like the blood, no? Again, this is part of one of the ha'aros that we made with respect to yayin, which is that this tension exists on Leil HaSeder, something we always try to combine the sweet with the bitter, right, the cheros with the avdos are all combined. Tapuach represents Klal Yisrael in the good sense. Charoses represents Klal Yisrael in the good sense. But it also represents the tevin. It should be thick. Your charoses should be thick. It should be of, which is domeh letit. The pashtus is that the way we make charoses, by like taking some apples or applesauce or whatever, is not exactly the proper way to make charoses to fulfill all the milos of charoses. Any other haros, guys? Again, so this is the world according to me. I'm not crazy about horseradish, and I think the way we make charoses, again, I don't know if you make charoses wrong, I don't know how much of an aveira that is, but still, you should try to make charoses the proper charoses sort of way. Okay, gentlemen, I spent a little longer on the halacha today than I would have liked to, so we'll break now. I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos and continue the good work. Be'ezras Hashem, we'll try to have some shiur on Sunday and next week. We have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we break for Yontiv. So, okay, Chevra, may you be blessed, and May you fulfill the mitzvah of maror and dip it in Kairoses appropriately. Okay, guys, have a good day. Yosef, don't say goodbye to my students.
Bye!
Okay, now we are going to hang up. Have a good day, Chevra. Yeah, you want pizza?